Off the Ball, GAA.
Like, they're willing to die for that ball. I said that about Cork for years. They're brilliant hurlers, and I said, when they have that ruthlessness, when you don't have the ball, that this is unbelievable. That now we have a great chance to attack that player that with the ball. Now it's a chance to show Cork people, show myself that, you know, I'm an absolute animal here when I don't have the ball.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast
with Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
So as a result of the idea that an Irish team can play an Australian game of football, last week I met with the new Consul General of Ireland in Victoria for the first time, Marie-Claire Hughes, and the Irish Ambassador in Canberra, Fiona Flood. And we're discussing this. It has now been discussed at AFL level, and there is a genuine desire to put a 20th team into the AFLW competition when Tasmania comes in of Irish team.
Wow.
So
wow.
We would have an Irish team. We're not playing in Ireland. It's not going to be a long away trip. They will be based here probably in Melbourne, but an Irish team, or maybe in Sydney, but probably here in Melbourne. We are now, we the collective football world, are looking at integrating an Irish team into the AFLW. Now, at the moment, we have 39 active players, and at the draft last week, we had a player go at pick 3, another one at pick 7. And this is with ones who are just coming over. So imagine if you actively put it together and did it in conjunction with the GAA.
Well, that would be interesting. And it's about this that we're talking to Sarah Rowe about now. Sarah, good morning to you. Good evening to you, I think.
Sure, how are you? Evening time for me.
How is pre-season going?
Pre-season is good. We are into our third week. Last week we were on camp for the full week, basically Monday to Friday. So we were up the mountains, cycling up 20 kilometres uphill. So that was fun. But yeah, we're right into it now. So challenge games, what they say in Australia, right. Scratch games, are coming thick and fast. So they're about 5 weeks away at the moment.
Are you getting better at this now as you get older and more experienced? And are you actually building on your levels of fitness all the time? I suppose we keep hearing that athletes peak at a certain point of their career. And I suspect that given the various sports that you've played at various stages now, you must have it down to a fine art.
You do and you don't. I think every year you're learning so much about your body, and your body's always changing, and there's different years you have different focuses. Like, you know, potentially some years you want to really focus on strength, and then maybe something else might take a bit of a backseat. So depending on what sport I'm preparing for is kind of the way I prepare. But this year I took 6 months off of downtime post and did back-to-back soccer, AFL soccer. So that was a big change for me. So it's probably the first off season I had in a long time to actually decide what direction I wanted to take and how I wanted to prepare my body. So that was a bit of a change for me.
And what were the big decisions, the big life decisions that you made?
Well, I actually just went home. I travelled and I trained from afar, essentially. Checked in with my S&C on a weekly basis and was like, I want to focus on getting stronger. I want to come back and I want my body to be fully recovered. I did feel like I hit a bit of burnout post Central Coast Mariners and then straight into the AFLW season. I essentially had 5 days off there. And I just found for the first time in my whole career, I didn't have the same competitive edge or that willingness and want to always kind of get better or to win. I felt exhausted in last year's AFLW season. So I feel like the 6 months off has made me kind of recuperate and kind of figure out that I did need some downtime. I think 6 months is too long for me. Felt like a bit of an addict the first couple of months. I was like, this is so unfamiliar to me to be out of structure and not be told what to do every day. But that's the direction that the club wanted me to take, and actually for once I wanted to take as well. So I feel so much more refreshed and feel really determined, really optimistic about this season.
And are you an Aussie Rules player now? Is that the decision made that you won't go back to soccer at some point in the future? And I'm not writing you off as a soccer player here, but
Ger, I never make final decisions like that. You know me, I could make a decision tomorrow to do something else. We never know. It's kind of like I always just feel it out, see how I'm feeling at the time. But obviously at the moment, so I just have a big focus on this season ahead.
Okay. That bit about the burnout, I suppose, leads nicely to the overlap between the Gaelic football season and the AFLW season. And this notion of there potentially being an Ireland team in the future. Park that for a minute, right? Like the longer season and the more teams that are coming in and the more money that's coming into AFLW makes it harder for players to manage the two seasons. If nothing changes, what do you think is the future for players who want to play both?
I think it's going to become increasingly harder. Like there is a negotiation for a new CBA in 2027. So we will see changes again in the system in what that looks like, potentially in terms of wages and potentially in terms of how many games. All those things might change. You don't know whether the season will be summer, winter, when it'll be. So I think balls will be up in the air again for 2027. So it's very hard to predict what that will look like. But I don't think we'll know anything on that until around October, November sort of time. But yeah, so that just raises question marks with the crossover of GAA and AFLW.
So when you heard the bit about there potentially being an Irish franchise in the AFLW, what was your immediate response?
Well, Eddie Maguire was the previous president of Collingwood. So he is the reason that I went to Collingwood. He's an extremely influential character and he's a great man and he absolutely loves Irish people. So he will always be fighting for the Irish flag. So I think Eddie comes up with ideas all the time and you never know where the ideas came from. It's just Eddie ideas. So I don't know where that will go. I haven't heard anything about it since, but yeah, it's not far removed from, I suppose, the truth, because there's just so many Irish players out here now that you're kind of, you have to go, oh yeah, I suppose it kind of does make sense. But it's just, I think it was just an Eddie idea to start with anyway. I don't know how far that has fluctuated.
All the great ideas start with someone going, I have a random idea. I'm going to put it out there. Fly a kite in the language of Jim McGuinness this week. Maybe there's an Irish business person who decides to stump up cash and buys that franchise and sets it up. Would it work?
Well, like, if you think about, like, how many Irish players are out here now, like, if there's 50 players, it's, you know, we were all built by GAA and, like, a lot of players come out to AFLW and are excited by the opportunity, but are torn by the feeling of guilt and leaving GAA and leaving their family and leaving the country that they know and coming to the other side of the world. So I think it just depends on, yeah, if that was a thing that it was younger girls' dreams maybe to do that, or if it's to play GAA. I don't think we know or we have enough information now, but I do think, like, obviously there's an increasing number every year. So it's not, it's not something that's really far away or like that wouldn't work.
Guilt is a very strong word and we all have a lot of it here for whatever reason in Ireland. We seem prone to it. What's the guilt that you feel about playing?
Because you kind of, I think with Gaelic football, like, it's built us. It's who we are. It's what we represent. It's our family. It's our friends. It's really close to the bone. It's what we have grown up loving. Whether we wanted to or not, we all love it. And AFLW is the sport that we had to grow to love, that we had to learn. It doesn't sit as deep as what GAA does to us, because obviously blood is thicker than water. So I think with that comes a level of, well, I should be at home playing GAA, or I should be with my family, or I should be at home in Ireland, closer to home. So I think those feelings do come up. And then the other side of your mind says to you, well, I'm in another country exploring, I'm learning a new sport, I'm being challenged in a professional environment, it is my job. And all of that comes with a great level of excitement as well, and a great level of opportunity too. So it's just that conflicting feeling, I think, that we have all felt at one time or another.
And do you talk about that with fellow Irish teammates and people who you meet and kind of say, like, does everybody deal with it differently? Does everybody feel it the same way?
Yeah, a lot of us do. Like a lot of, I think that's why it's so good to have so many Irish players over here, because we do lean on each other a lot and we do feel at times isolated and alone, and we are in a different culture that's not our own. So things come up that kind of confuse us, or it's just different. And I think with that, then we have those conversations and we realize we're not going insane, and then we realize it's fine. It's just cultural differences and it's just different sports. It's the difference between amateur and professional. And then we all talk it out, and then it's all fine and we go about our business again. So I think it's amazing to have that support. And that's why I think anyone who's out here just wants more of us, because we love that support that we get. But in the same breath, we also want to see GAA be successful, and we want to see that game continue to grow. And we also want to see AFLW continue to grow as well. And the wider scope of it all is, like, you want to see women's sport growing.
Yeah. I wonder if there's actually an opportunity. It's asking a lot of an amateur organisation like the LGFA, but if they were to become involved in the ownership of a franchise at whatever level that was, that they would understand that players aren't going to be available for pre-season because they're doing a version of their pre-season at home, and structure the championship and actually embrace the global opportunity that there is with AFLW. It's very tricky, right? But like, if there was some kind of stake, then there's a voice at the table for new seasons and CBAs and all that kind of stuff, as opposed to pretending it doesn't exist and hope that it goes away, because that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I agree. I think not brushing it under the carpet is the main thing. And I think collaboration is most important. And I think understanding both sides and both perspectives is important as well, because then you can meet halfway on most things, I would say. Currently, with where the game is at, there definitely could be a way of working together better, I think. So it would need a group of Irish people, and it would need a group of Australians and everyone to understand both worlds very well to come to a conclusion. But it's the same when you think about, like, negotiating a new CBA. We have the AFLPA, who work on behalf of the players, and then you have the AFL, and they come together and they make decisions. They fight for the players and they fight for the organisation, and we come together and we make decisions all the time. So it's the same thing, LGFA, GAA, AFL, AFLW. You know, I think you could, when you combine worlds together.
And maybe there was an opportunity around this Ireland versus Australia fixture for that. I know there's no official LGFA involvement, but certainly that could be the type of thing that they go to and have some chats and a bit of soft diplomacy around it.
Yeah, I don't know the ins and outs of that. Obviously, all we know is what's been released in the media. And, you know, no one has heard about selection or anything like that yet, or like whether who is being selected on the Australian side or how it works on the Irish side. So I suppose we're not really privy to that information. But yeah, it's definitely an opportunity for the worlds to collide.
It feels like they're only really starting to come together. So there was an announcement this morning, our time, Colin O'Riordan's going to be the head coach. Craig Stargovich is his assistant. Cora Staunton's going to be the chair of the selectors. And the game is going to be Saturday, the 1st of August in Sydney.
Yeah. I heard that news. I did hear that. So yeah, that's great news. I think the big thing is with Colin, like, it's so exciting to see. I was delighted when I saw him get the Sydney Swans job to start with, and having spoken to a couple of those players, there is massive respect for him there, and he does seem to be the man to do the job. So I think it's great that they have the Irish people involved, and Cora obviously being a proven winner in everything she does. So an Irish players won't want to go out there and not go for the juggler that day. So I think that's important as well. And then Starcevic obviously has had a lot of success with the Brisbane girls as well.
What kind of a game would it be like?
It's hard to know, but I think it's deep. Like, it really is, because again, like the Irish side of things, it's like you represent your country, you represent what you feel is like the GAA, your home, your family, and you're combining your world of your AFLW. And there's massive respect between the Irish girls and the Australian girls as well. So I think together that game, I think it will be like full steam ahead. There will be nothing held back on that day. And I think it will be a really competitive contest. But it's hard to know what the game will look like, whether the Irish approach would be more of a Gaelic football look or whether it would be a tactical AFLW approach. Like, it's hard to know what the coaches would go with that. But obviously with the Irish players, like a lot of people say, the Irish players are really unpredictable, but we're quite predictable to each other because we know that half the time we're all trying to play Gaelic football out there. So it'll be interesting to see tactically how it all sets up. But I think it'll be an amazing occasion and a really exciting one. And again, to speak to the broader perspective of it all, it would be amazing for women in sport.
Yeah, I saw the Women's State of the Origin was on last week, I think. And maybe this is Aussie Rules version of that?
Yeah, definitely. And I think people have been crying out for it for years as well. Irish players have said every year that they want this to happen, and Australian players are welcoming it as well. So I think it'll be amazing.
So when does your season actually properly start?
So it doesn't start. We start challenge games in 5 weeks' time, and then nine weeks' time we start our season officially.
Okay, so this will be around the time that the season's just getting up and running, is it?
Or it's the week before round one. So
okay, right.
I think that's the idea as well, that they wanted to make sure that players had enough game load in before that game, so to obviously prevent injuries, because the clubs will be in control of whether players can play or they can't, and there will be like load management on players as well. So like if someone's carrying a niggle, whether they'll be allowed to play, and if they can, maybe they might only be able to play 50% game time. So there'll be all that stuff to take into account. So the next few weeks will, you know, I assume the team will be picked in the next couple of weeks, but then there'll also be load management throughout each club and what they want for their players as well.
Yeah, there's actually a bit of competition to get into the team, I suspect.
Yeah, definitely, 100%. I think both sides will be hard to select, and it's hard to know. Like, a lot of the Irish players play in similar positions, so it would be interesting to pick the team. But I think either way, it'll be an amazing spectacle.
I'm also very interested to see what the jerseys look like, because there's a big opportunity here for us to have a new, nice Ireland shirt.
100%. I think, that's in the works at the moment. So I'm definitely interested to see that as well.
And any idea who's designing it?
No idea. A couple of Aussies, I'd say.
Oh, well, can't have everything. Sarah, great to hear from you again. It sounds like you're loving it again.
Yeah, no, I am. Absolutely. I definitely have my energy back, and I'm excited I'm just can't wait to compete again. Dying to get back out there.
Well, listen, always great to chat to you. Thanks a million for joining us. Cheers.
Thanks, Chair.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Off the Ball. GAA.
Like, they're willing to die for that ball. I said that about Carr for years. They're brilliant hurlers. And I said, when they have that ruthlessness, when you don't have the ball, that this is unbelievable. That now we have a great chance to attack that player that with the ball. Now it's a chance to show Carr people, show myself that, you know, I'm an absolute animal here when I don't have the ball.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.